Welcome to Radio Who, What, Why. I'm Jeff Scheckman. 50 years ago, the nation experienced one of the seminal moments of the 20th century. Along with two world wars, the dawning of the nuclear age, and the landing of men on the moon, the assassination of JFK was one of last century's tentpoles. As such, it never ceases to fascinate us. What other event of the 20th century still conjures up as many unanswered questions? Is there anyone who still believes that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone and that the Warren Commission was accurate? I'd say probably the same number of people that believe Elvis is still alive. My guest, Robert Groden, has since the beginning been on the forefront of the effort to try and understand what really happened and why. He's written extensively about conspiracy theories regarding the assassination. His books include The Killing of a President, The Complete Photographic Record of the JFK Assassination, The Search for Lee Harvey Oswald, The Comprehensive Photographic Record, and JFK, The Case for Conspiracy. He was a consultant to Oliver Stone on his film JFK and was responsible for bringing the Zapruder film to national attention. It is my pleasure to welcome Robert Groden to Radio Who, What, Why. Robert, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate being here.
First of all, in an overall sense, and certainly this is something you've been with for a very, very, very long time, what is it about this story, this murder, this assassination that still captivates us to this day?
Well, for one thing, it's an amazing murder mystery. Lee Harvey Oswald clearly did not shoot anybody. But he was blamed for it, and he was killed for it 2 days after President Kennedy. Why that happened, how it happened, is all part of the whole story. And it's been 53 years now since the assassination, and, you know, though there are many of us who want to find the truth, who like to know the truth while we're still alive, and that's what I've been trying to do now for all of these years.
Is it your belief, after doing this for so many years, that we will ever really know the truth?
I used to think we could. Now I'm not so sure. The cover-up has been going on for so many years, and so many legends and so much false information have been presented on both sides that it may be impossible at this stage of the game to find out who really did do it. So I've been focusing more lately, the last couple of years, on who did not do it, and that's Lee Harvey Oswald.
In your research, who else have you concluded, and there have been so many theories, of course, over the years, who else have you concluded didn't do it?
Oh, my. Well, Lee Harvey Oswald is the one we have to focus on because he's the one who was blamed for it, and then the Dallas police allowed him to be killed 2 days later so that there wouldn't be a trial. Jack Ruby admitted that he shot Oswald to prevent there being a trial, but he said for a different reason. He said because of Mrs. Kennedy, and I tend to doubt that Mrs. Kennedy had anything to do with why Ruby did it. That was a story that was created by Tom Howard, his lawyer. And again, it was to get sympathy. And once again, when there are two major issues we have to deal with here. Number one is, was there more than one shooter? And issue number two is was Oswald one of the shooters? And clearly, my feeling is that there was more than one shooter, especially since shots came from the front and the rear. And the sound recording shows that up to 15 shots might have been fired, including all the ones that missed, struck the street, and James Tague, the bystander, and so on. You had mentioned during your introduction that so many people don't believe that Oswald was guilty, and this is a massive change from the way it was back in 1963 and 64. Back then, we had no evidence except what the Warren Commission released, and much of that was falsified. So, will we ever know the truth? No, I don't know that we can at this stage of the game. So many of the people that were involved in it are now dead. It's difficult to figure out all the answers.
Talk a little bit about the rush to judgment towards Oswald.
Well, it appears from what we see that Oswald was set up before the shots were ever fired. He was given a job in the Texas School Book Depository. He would have had no way of knowing that the president's motorcade was going to be going by the depository. This is like 4.5 weeks earlier. He was working there. He never missed a day's work. He was reliable that he would be there, and he was set up. When I worked for the government investigating all of this, we found a 2.5-page document from the director of the CIA, John McCone, to the head of the Secret Service, James Rowley. And in this note, he pretty much clears Oswald, saying Oswald didn't do it, but that Oswald was, in fact, a CIA agent trained by the CIA and sent to the Soviet Union first, and then later on sent to New Orleans, all on different assignments. And it's quite a convincing letter. It's very, very strong. It's a little over 2 pages, and it's signed by John McCone. Mm-hmm. I published this in my latest book, JFK Absolute Proof. And in that book, we deal with the evidence of conspiracy and actually point a couple of fingers toward guilty people who's involved in the cover-up, like Gerald Ford, who admitted that he had arbitrarily changed the location of the president's back wounds to make it appear that the bullet entered the back of the president's neck, when in fact it was actually about 6.5 inches lower. But if he admitted the actual entry point of this bullet, it would have shown that the angle was totally wrong for a shot from the so-called a sniper's nest, mm-hmm. going through the president and then on to Governor Connally. It simply could not have happened. So he lied. He just plain lied.
If, in fact, there were multiple shooters, if, in fact, Oswald was set up long before the assassination took place, can one make the case that it was always the intent of whoever was responsible, whoever set it up, to obfuscate as much as possible, to make it as confusing as possible, to make it so that 50-plus years later, we'd still be having this conversation?
That's entirely possible. So much false evidence has been presented, again, from both sides, but far more from the other side than the side that I'm on anyway, or we're on. I'm assuming that from what you have said, mm-hmm. that you're aware that there was, in fact, a conspiracy and that mm-hmm. Oswald didn't do it. That's an assumption, but still, let's assume that that's the case. If so, then enough false evidence has been presented through the years, from the very, very beginning, to frame Oswald. For instance, when the shots were fired and the investigation began, there were only 2 empty shells found on the 6th floor, just 2. The FBI and the Dallas police files both show in writing and in photographic evidence that there were only 2. Well, they realized after a while that that wasn't enough, so they went back and added a 3rd one to make it appear as if the shooting had all occurred from one spot, mm-hmm. fired by Oswald. It wasn't true. They knew it wasn't true. But they presented a lie to us from the very beginning, saying that 3 bullet shells were found, and they weren't. There were only 2. I published the photographs and the documentary evidence in the new book, in the JFK Absolute Proof. And again, that's just one of the things. The withholding and then the disappearance of the photographic evidence from the autopsy. The fact that the president's brain autopsy, which was done after the initial autopsy, it showed that apparently that the bullets came from the opposite direction. With all of this, you know, we have a very, very strong case that everything that we were told was a lie.
Talk a little bit about the Zapruder film and what we really gain from that today, even after further analysis?
Well, the Zapruder film is extremely important. I was honored to be the person who released the film to the public back in 1975. Up until that point, no one had seen the film itself, except a few people at Life magazine and a few people in the government. The public was not allowed to see it because it shows that the president was shot from the front, not from the rear. And this is extremely important. We've gotten to the point now where defenders of the Warren Commission and attackers on both sides are saying that the Zapruder film was faked. Well, it wasn't faked. It couldn't be faked. Physically, the ability to fake that sort of a thing did not exist then. It would be most difficult even to do now. But once again, people get these crazy ideas like the car stopped in the middle of the street, which it didn't. You can see it just keeps going. Zapruder's film, Orville Nix's film, Marie Muchmore's film, all show that the car never stopped. But for people who want to think that the Secret Service stopped the car so that the president could be a sitting target, because of that, they have to attack the Zapruder film. The Zapruder film is the single most important piece of physical evidence that we have, and it's absolutely genuine.
Talk a little bit about your efforts to get this story out there to the public. I mentioned, and we talked a little bit about, you were the first to get the Zapruder film out there to the public, but you're still doing it. You're still out there today from time to time in Dealey Plaza trying to get information out there.
Well, I made a promise to President Kennedy at his graveside that I would do everything within my power to try to find the truth no matter where it led. And for the last 53 years, I've been doing that. I've kept my word. I've tried to find the truth. I go down to Dealey Plaza every weekend, every Friday, every Saturday, every Sunday, every holiday, and try to let people know that there's an alternative to the official fiction. And I've been doing it, and I will be doing it as long as I'm breathing. As long as I can go down there, I will. The Dallas police and the city of Dallas and the sixth floor museum in Dealey Plaza are all against what I'm trying to do. And they've thrown me in jail a couple of times. They've ticketed me when I have broken no laws 84 times. Fortunately, I've won every time in court. But they still kept doing it until a federal judge ordered them to stop.
One of the ironies in all of this, and we touched on it a little bit before, is that probably at no time in public opinion has there been more of a belief that either Oswald wasn't the shooter, or that Oswald didn't act alone, or that there's some broader conspiracy or framework for all of this. Probably more of the public believes that today than at any other time. And yet, because so much time has gone by, because so many people have died, as you indicated before, it's harder and harder to find out what the truth is.
Well, it may be impossible at this stage to find out all the truth. So what we do is we focus on the physical evidence itself. That's what I've done in the 14 publications that I've done through the years. I've gone out of my way to present the evidence that the government did not want us to see because it's the strongest evidence we have. You know, I interviewed the Dallas doctors when the government wouldn't do it, and I actually videotaped them, and they were unanimous. The fatal shot came from the front. The Warren Commission said that all the shots came from the rear. It simply wasn't true. They all knew it wasn't true. I have found nearly 80 witnesses that have stated that the president was shot from the front, not from the rear. Although he had been shot from the rear as well, true, but the fatal shot came from the front. And we can deal with things like that, and that shows us the correct direction, even though it doesn't solve the case.
Where does all of the physical evidence that you have amassed, where does all of that physical evidence take us in terms of who actually might be responsible?
Well, I have to go with the report from the House Select Committee on Assassinations, which is a group that I worked with in Washington, D.C., in the House of Representatives for 3 years. During that period of time, the evidence showed us that, yes, it was probably organized crime. Now, organized crime could have killed the president, but they could not have run this kind of a sophisticated cover-up for all of these years. They wouldn't have had the power or the ability. So it's a bit of both. If you want to know my opinion is that organized crime, specifically the Chicago mob, and their tentacles out into Dallas and New Orleans and Miami, all of that, and the covert actions branch of the CIA that was at war with President Kennedy over his wanting to end the Vietnam War. My feeling is that both of those groups are the most likely answer to who actually did it.
Are you going to continue to make this your life's work?
Yeah, well, it is. This Tuesday, I'll be 71 years old. I've been doing this since I was 18. It's already my life's work, and I will keep doing it as long as I can, as long as I'm breathing and walking around. And I joke that when I'm gone, when I finally die, we're going to have me stuffed and brought to Dealey Plaza every weekend anyway.
I mean, you mentioned your birthday. It's no small accident, I suppose, that your birthday is on the 22nd of November.
It's date, I guess.
Robert Groden, I thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure. Thank you for caring, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak about it. I appreciate it, and I wish there were more people like you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for listening and joining us here on Radio Who, What, Why. I hope you join us next week for another Radio Who, What, Why podcast. I'm Jeff Shekman. If you like this podcast, please feel free to share and help others find it by rating and reviewing it on iTunes. You can also support this podcast and all the work we do by going to whowhatwhy.org/donate.